on a Tuesday. I'm actually not here. This is Chantal Palm's show today, but I'm standing in for just a moment because, well, we've got political matters on the brain, and very, very pleased to welcome the gentlemen of the Inkatha Freedom Party, those two of whom are standing in. I know Rigby Heenan is standing in Ward 6, and Cyril Pandaram is standing in
Ward 16.
Ward 16. Which area is that?
That
Cyril?
Is just off the CBD of Kwadukuza, Morningside, the industrial area.
Okay.
Sunny Park, Northlands Park, Indian Village.
Super. So, I'm delighted that we've had the opportunity to get you in, because for a while there, I wasn't sure whether we were going to run out of time, because the election is very soon. It's Monday.
Correct.
And in fact, it's worked out perfectly, because you have an opportunity now to chat directly to certainly some who will be listening with an interest as to what it is that the IFP has to offer in this particular node in 2021 in terms of local government. Penny Faree, our actuality producer-presenter, is in the house, and you know Penny's always got the questions.
Yes.
And hopefully you guys have got the answers, and I'm going to just kind of almost be the man in the street with questions and perception, and just trying to unravel the mystery that is government and local government in the 21st century in South Africa. It is a convoluted area, but let's kick off. And firstly, Rigby, I mean, I want to ask you, because I'm going to declare a fact here. I'm not recusing myself, I'm just declaring it. Rigby and I are friends, and I like him a lot, and I have lots of respect for him. But I'm curious as to why you continue to put yourself through the mill, because you're a well-established member of the community, and yeah, you've certainly constantly been of service right the way from the very beginning when you were a member of the SAP, and always with a heart and a mind for looking after people. You're a farmer, you're a family man, a much loved member of the community, and you ventured into politics. Why?
David, I think it was a way of really putting something or giving something back to the community. I felt as though I'd been taking, and it was an opportunity really to give something back to the community and to make things better. I've always felt for the underprivileged, the poor, the poverty, and I've striven much of my life to try and uplift people and poverty, to make sure that they have a home, better education, better health facilities, and that's what's driven me.
And you've gone sort of in a different direction to most of your peers, because I think it's fair to say that the majority of people in the Greater Ballito North Coast area that come from an homogenous ethnic group as we do. And I don't want to get into the culture of identity politics or race-based politics at all, but I just want to look at sort of cultural homilies where one tends to gravitate to what you feel comfortable with, and that tends to be almost indivisible from political identity especially in these times. You're a white guy, and you're in a party that traditionally is a Zulu party. How does that work?
Well, David, it's quite interesting, because going back in family, our family goes back to King Cetshwayo's day. So I've always had a close link or tie with the Zulu people, and it's always fascinated me, their tradition, their culture. And I knew the late Gideon Zulu, and I met the late King. I've had an affinity for the Zulu people, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for them, and I'll just say that I've grown up very, very close to the Zulu people as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And how does this now translate into winning votes from a traditionally white area to a party that is considered to be, and I ask this question with the view to try to understand, the IFP, although ostensibly a non-racial party, is traditionally a Zulu entity, and the Inkatha movement is a Zulu movement, and the head of the party is the prime minister of the Zulu kingdom, Minister Buthelezi, I believe. He's still the head of the IFP, is he?
Yes, he is, yeah. David, yes.
It was a very strong Zulu identity that was kind of fractured when Zuma and the Zuma faction of KZN split away from the traditional Zulu politics base and joined the ANC, which was in those days majority Xhosa based, apart from a few liberals that swung around and decided this was the way to go. I'm talking now before the first free and fair elections of back in the day. Then everything changed because everyone declared, well, we're now wonderfully homogenous, where everyone is welcome to join all of these parties, any of these parties, and we will look after all of your identities and all of your questions and answers. It hasn't actually worked like that. I think majority of people are still sitting in very much their identity-based affiliations, and it must be extremely difficult to get a message across to people. And Cyril, maybe you can come in here and offer from an Indian perspective why you would join the IFP and why followers of you, both of you, because this is what you're actually setting yourselves up as leaders, and then followers come and vote for you and put you in power, hopefully, so that you can do stuff for them. Why would people from the Indian community even consider joining the IFP?
It's quite simple, Dave. The IFP has evolved. We are now a non-racial party serving the community beyond race, religion, color, and culture. We are now the safety net of all South Africans. That's my simple. We are actually the rainbow party.
But the Inkatha Freedom Party, if my information is correct, has been riven from within by internal factionalism and this big split, which was all over the news not too long ago, based on the idea that the old guard was too old and the new guard wanted to change things radically, almost towards, dare I call it, a sort of radical economic transformation. What's happened? They were all expelled, naturally, and you're back to the original premise, Buthelezi in charge, old guard for sure. You are the kind of new energy.
Yes.
And has this translated to the people on the ground?
Yes. Right now, Comrade Slabisa is now leading the party at the moment.
No more Buthelezi.
Prince Buthelezi is still our honorary
leader. So he's a figurehead.
He's our figurehead. Okay. You see them on our T-shirts.
Yes.
This is the greatest respect we can show to our leader. This is the greatest respect. We could have put Slabisa on here.
Yeah.
Comrade Slabisa. But we honor our leader. He's done a lot, not only for KZN, he's done a lot for us as the Rainbow Nation, pre-1994. And we got to respect that.
Well, absolutely. I think there is a story to tell, and not everyone is convinced, obviously. But we're looking forward now to a new dispensation. And 2021, there seems to be an opportunity now to bring a new dispensation to the country. The ANC is still very much the majority. Shocking track record of service delivery. It sort of lurches from bad to worse. Things have got to change, but people are not changing. Why? What's wrong with South Africans?
Voter apathy.
But why?
It's across the board. It's beyond color.
I was looking at some interesting info under the elections.org.za recently, and it's a very, very good website if you want to look at statistics. And in the 2016 local government elections, KZN had 5.4 million registered voters, and 3.3 million voters turned up to vote. That was 61.48%, which was quite, which was higher than the national figure, which was 57.94. So it's quite interesting. But I wanted to jump in on a local government question. You know, when the ANC came into power, one of the election promises it made was it would endeavor to supply houses for every South African. Do you think that the constant emphasis on the government's role in delivering free houses to the poor did not sap an impetus of to self-help and breed a strong dependency on the state? Because now everyone feels, where's my free house? I'm entitled to a free house. Do you think that has worked? Because, I've been tackling this housing issue in our region and the backlog that we are facing at the moment. A lot of people who are living in shacks that have invaded property. So what, clearly, the backlog is there. It hasn't worked. Do you think what they promised in the election campaign worked?
Penny, 27 years of failure cannot be fixed in 5 years. You cannot keep people in diaper stage all their lives, reliant on government help. People will never grow.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you intend to change it?
Dave, if you see our track record in KZN alone, every municipality we ran Ilemba, you can see there's a distinct difference the way we govern and other people. I'm not here to compete with any political party. I'm not here to run any political party down. I'm going to speak on the credibility of the IFP. Here in Kwadukuza, Ilemba district, and every municipality that we run it with distinction. We have a proven track record.
But didn't the Ilemba municipality have a massive audit issue and question mark?
When, Dave?
I don't know when Bix Delport was the municipal manager. It was shocking.
Bix Pretorius.
Bix Pretorius, at least, yeah. There was a huge, well, it was going back some 15, okay. 20 years maybe, but it was...
I was going to say, I can't remember that.
I see. Going sorry back about to, that.
Yeah.
But that was an eye, and there was a huge schism between the Guadaguza and Ilembe. Ilembe was the district municipality, Guadaguza was the local municipality, but they wouldn't speak to each other.
Yes.
Because the one was IFP,
correct.
The one was...
I agree with you.
And is it still like that?
I wouldn't say, because for me, competition stimulates growth. So, you know, iron sharpens iron. So if that happened, then everybody needs to outdo each other on the ground in service delivery.
Okay. So let's just talk now. 2021, new slate. What was in the past is the past.
Correct.
We're going forward now. We've got a new deal on the table. What is in it for me? That's what the voter wants to know. Why should I vote for you, Rigby Heenan? Apart from the fact you're a hell of a nice guy.
Well, David, you know, quite honestly, I've become a despondent. I was led to believe that we were going into a new South Africa.
Yes, because you were with the ANC, and you still stood very proudly and very, you know, forthright, and you tried your best. I know you tried very hard in a difficult time and difficult circumstances, and you never failed the people that you served. You tried, but obviously the machine was broken, so you've now jumped ship.
Correct, Dave. Yeah, you know, as I said, I liked the Luthuli legacy, the Tambo legacy, and the Mandela, and I thought we'll give it a shot, to give it our best chance. And quite honestly, the party failed me, and I failed the people.
Not for lack of trying, though.
Not for lack of trying, David, no.
So now, do you believe that with this new dispensation in terms of your choice, the IFP, you can deliver on those promises?
I believe we can, David, and I think that we need a new energy. I think we've become very stale. I'm actually very disappointed that the amount of the youth are actually not even registered to vote. And when you look at the percentage in the youth, this is the target, this is where we should be looking as our future leaders. But and it's disappointing that a lot of them are not registered. And I've been around canvassing and finding out that there are hundreds, literally, that aren't registered.
Yeah,
and this is what people fought for, you know, and I'm talking about my black brothers and sisters, and they haven't registered to vote. And, I mean, the struggle was on, and they fought for it. Now they have this freedom, and they're not taking advantage of their vote. It just, to me, I find it peculiar.
Possibly voter education was something that should have been done a long time ago. It hasn't really been. But still, the election is in a week's time or less than a week's time. A bit too late now to start with the voter education. Now we're looking at those that can vote to get them to vote.
Rigby, I want to ask a question. You know, you hear a lot about the IFP. Obviously, in the 2016 elections, the IFP got 4 seats. DA got 11, ANC won by a massive majority of 37. Everyone's saying now, you're hearing the thing, why would they lose, you know, why would they vote for a small party? Because it's a wasted vote. You know, why are they diluting the, you know, the strong opposition party? Because what, you know, the ANC needs is a strong opposition, a strong voice in council that will possibly make a difference and not dilute the power of the voice, you know, of the position. Do you think that's relevant in the local elections?
Penny, it's very relevant, you know, and I think I'm very surprised that we have so many registered political parties, because what that is doing is actually weakening not just the majority party, but it's weakening all the parties. I mean, we have something like 16 or 17 political parties registered in Kwadukuza.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find them while you carry on. Talk among yourselves. Quite no. But I mean, there are parties here that I have never heard of, and I'm sure that majority people have never heard of.
I was, not a lot of, you haven't heard a lot in the media about it. I was looking at the manifestos of 2016, and it was interesting to, when political leaders on their campaign trail while they're electioneering make these promises to their voters on what they will deliver. And I think it's very important to take a manifesto from 2016 and hold it up to the party who made all these promises to their voters, who went to the elections voting them in hoping that they would deliver. I mean, the ANC was huge on corruption. They said municipality, they would rule anyone who did business within a municipality, who was an employee of the municipality, would be taken to task. And obviously, that is a massive issue, with the Auditor General who pointed out a lot of the dealings within the municipality had involved relatives. So do you think that if the ANC is saying that they're going to renew the party and yet the same people are still standing in there, do you think it's just false hope and false promises, and they should be held accountable for breaking promises to their voters?
Well, Penny, interesting that you say that, because I've had a look back at the manifestos that were made in 2016, and it's almost like a cut and paste. It's almost identical to what they're telling us now. And what I'm saying is, do we sign a blank check again and give them another 5 years? And now all the promises are coming about. I don't trust. I'm sorry, they've breached their trust.
Yeah, let's not even go there, because I mean, we it was preaching to the converted.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to this particular radio station, anyway, anyone that has any doubt as to whether service delivery has been adequate, to put it mildly, I think is the jury is in, and the verdict is that service delivery has not happened, not nearly what it should have been. So do we go around the mulberry bush again the same way? No, obviously, clearly not. If you do what you always done, you get what you always got. We don't want that anymore. We want a new dispensation. What is the IFP offering us?
David, what I'd say the IFP is offering is, I don't hear too much being said about economic development. And to me, economic development is key for jobs, businesses. That should be the prime focus, economic development, upliftment. But people are talking about, I know it may sound like the petty things, my street lights don't work, the potholes. That all has to be attended to.
So if you come in as a party and you take the government, the local government, the municipality, what is your position with regard to all of those underperforming civil servants that are on the payroll?
Grab that tree and give it a good shake and get rid of all the dead wood. That would be my first priority. Fire them.
All of them.
Not all of them, but
all of those that aren't producing, aren't delivering.
The ones that aren't competent.
But that must be about the majority. I'm serious. I'm not.
No, it's. That's,
I think there'll be very few people.
Sorry,
that
Dave. Can I just come in?
Yeah, please.
The fish rots on the head.
Yeah.
The fish rots on the head. So if we want to fix Kwadukuza, we've got to start from the top. We've got to get people who are inventive, innovative, and creative to move this forward. And then who's the best people to do that? Business people, successful business people. You know, I said many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that if you brought the Raymond Ackermans, the Clive Rice, and all these big shot successful business people and put them into government, we won't be in debt, not even one day. That's the same thing will happen at Kwadukuza.
Okay, so you would fill the ranks with
competent people.
So it would be a meritocracy rather than a cater deployment or.
Oh, definitely. Cater deployment is out the door. That's what failed us in the first place. You put capable, competent people with experience in the right people. You pay the person the right salary for the right job. You don't pay the kind of salary that we are paying now and have a consultant to do the job. That's nonsense.
And do you have in the ranks of the IFP the qualified people like that?
You see, Dave, let me give you my perspective.
Yeah.
I've been a community activist for 32 years. Mm-hmm. When I don't know something, I hire people with the know-how. I pay out of my own pocket, even legal people, to do my work for me, so that when I go and I take on something, I'm going there with a loaded gun. So even if we don't have somebody competent in our own ranks, we will hire competent people.
But isn't that what's been happening with the consultants?
Sorry, some of these consultants are just there for the paycheck. Okay. They're not there to do the job.
So now you're talking about the same thing, really. If you've got people that are in power that don't have the know-how, you're still going to be outsourcing to consultants.
Yes, but you see, the difference is we will put clauses in. You will get paid according to your performance. Here you can get a consultant to sign up for 12 months. He can do absolutely nothing, right? Or the bare minimum. We don't need that. You when you give people incentives and you tell them you work towards it, let me give you an example. If I employ somebody in the accounting department and I tell the guy, right, out of this 50 million every month that we are spending, if you save me 1 million rand a month, I'm going to give you 1% of that as a bonus, as an incentive. Do you think it will work, Dave?
Well, I would imagine so.
If I do that to the electrical department, I say, if you cut your overtime by 2 million rand a month, you, the director, the ED, you're going to get a bonus. End of the financial term, all your management will get a bonus.
So everyone wins.
It's a win-win situation.
Yeah. The thing is, they still get performance still
for doing nothing.
Yeah.
For
it's
doing nothing.
Like if you look at everyone who performed below par, they still get a bonus.
But that's not the IFB way.
Okay, no, I understand that. So you're looking at a meritocracy. You're putting in changing the guard to better qualified, able people, and where you need skills, you're going to outsource and find those skills, and they'll be responsible and they will be measurable, and et cetera. That's fantastic. But what about people that are saying, Rigby, you mentioned it. Listen, I've been here, I'm paying rates, I'm paying taxes, I'm paying through my nose, I'm getting zip. The only structures that seem to be working are the UIP that we're paying for on top of what we're paying the local government for. So how are you going to change that?
Well, to me, Dave, it's quite unacceptable to pay a levy and a levy on top of a levy and a levy to make sure that the people that you're paying should be doing the job, and they're not doing the job. So you're outsourcing to another individual and then somebody else. So you're in fact paying two or three levies. It's like being on a body corporate with all these little security levies and garden levies.
Okay, so you would change that how?
I would change that, David. I would
By bringing in the right people and making sure that the job gets done.
Capable, competent people, people that are driven. At the moment, there's nobody that's actually driven. There's no enthusiasm.
If you were to be elected, would you be prepared to work as a coalition with other parties that have got similar? Because everyone's telling you the same thing, by the way. You know, everyone I've spoken to is going to do exactly what you're talking about. We're going to fix the problems. We're going to fix the problem. We're going to bring in the right sort. I'm the voter. I'm as confused as the next guy because everyone's offering me a free ride here. But how do we believe what we hear?
Well, David, I think you touched on something. I think the only way to wrestle power from the ANC is basically by coalition, is parties working together. And we've got to form partnerships, public-private partnerships, if we want to go forward.
And is that going to be the course, you think, going forward?
My prediction is that will be the course, David.
So now it's the question of looking at the posters, looking at the if you've had an opportunity to listen to the promises from the individuals that are standing in your individual wards. Do you like them? Can you work with them? Do you believe? Will they take your call when you have got something urgent on your mind? Will they work for you? In many cases, these are completely anonymous people. I'll just tell you who's standing in this local election. There is Action SA, the ANC, the APF, the ABC, the ATM, I kid you not, the JEP, the EFF, Al Jama, the AIC, the DA, the ACDP, and the Freedom Front Plus, VF Plus. Wow! A lot of these people,
What's that ABC you said? Is that the movement, the Abijara movement that is representing a lot of the Shack communities
no,
in
I,
court?
I think that's the ex-mayor of Greytown. That's his party.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw that also.
Dave, I want to just add something here.
Yeah.
No party that is not in power, that does not hold the purse strings, can make any promises. That's a lie. And we are not going to make any promises like that. We can under-promise and over-deliver. If I'm going to tell you, I'm going to build the houses, I'm going to do the water and sanitation, that's a lie, because I don't hold the purse strings.
How strong is the IFP?
We are growing.
But right now?
Right now. We are growing in leaps and bounds.
But
and that's
how strong
not
are you right now? Are you? Do you have a snowball's hope in hell of taking this election in the local government?
Not really.
So how many seats are you hoping for?
In which area?
Guadaguza.
Well, Kwadukuza, yeah, if we get 10, I'll be happy.
And will that make a difference? Will that make a substantial difference?
I'm asking for 16.
Okay, but you just said
I'm saying I'll be happy. I'm not greedy. Okay. I'm saying when I did my steps.
So that won't give you majority. Who will you coalesce with?
We'll have to talk after the election.
No, you must talk now. Because I'm going to vote for you based on who you, because if you're going to coalesce with the ruling party, which could happen.
It can happen.
Just because it's a lovely free ride for your 30K or 40K.
I'm not looking for a free ride.
Yeah, a lot of people are there. A lot of people that are standing as
Dave,
board councillors.
If you see my manifesto,
I will
give back 12 months of my salary back to my ward to fix up service delivery problems like potholes and etc. So I'm not in it for the money. Coalition, I'm open. We are open to a coalition.
Who would you not work with?
It's a good question.
I'm not going to say.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's fair enough. Rigby, your view?
David, yeah, I think one has to understand local government and how it works, because for any individual or an independent to make promises, they cannot deliver on those promises. Because, as you know, everything goes on an RDP.
Yeah.
It then has to align with the budget. Then it has to be sanctioned and approved by council. So I can promise people on my manifesto I'll do this and I'll do that. The truth is they cannot do that because it has to go to a vote to council. And if the majority is the ruling party, you're unlikely to fulfill any of your promises to the community.
So what would you, because we're always out of time, time is against us, what would you say to anyone listening to this right now that is as confused as I am about Monday's vote? Where would you get most bang for your buck, honestly?
David, you know, you're firing a difficult question for me to answer.
I know, but it's difficult.
But I feel that parties need to cooperate and work together, all the minority or smaller parties. And that's our attitude. I think one has to be careful about your partners, who you partner with, because it's all and well to form a partnership, but to get divorced is problematic, as we've seen with some of the other parties. So I think you choose your partners and choose very carefully who you're going to partner with.
And you're standing in Ward 6?
Correct.
How confident are you that your message is out there and you've been heard and people know who you are and are going to vote for you?
Ward 6 is a difficult ward. It has been predominantly a DA-run ward. So the challenges are difficult. But I can just come with something more, I believe, to the table. I can give more. I think I can be more focused. I am community-driven. I also live here.
Yeah.
I'm not an absentee councillor. Some of the councillors don't live in the ward that they represent. I'm passionate about this town because I live here.
And your track record speaks for itself. You have always gone the extra mile. And for that, I think it's very clever of any political party that could have snatched you up to join them. The IFP's done a good job. You're a good man. And thanks for joining us in this. I know it's been a tough couple of questions, and you've answered them well. Cyril, from your perspective, how confident are you?
Dave, I would say I'm very confident because I've got a proven record. Track record for 32 years in my community, and I don't have to push anything more than that. If my track record can't get me a seat, then the voter loses, not me.
Well, I wish you both huge success because I can
Dave,
see.
Sorry, before you go,
sure.
I begged this man. I begged.
Oh, did
I threatened
you recruit him?
I threatened him.
Well, you did well.
And thank
you. If that's how you're
we
going
both
to
farmers,
continue
by
to
the
do
way.
Business.
We are born farmers. We know how to be innovative and creative. We know how to upskill people. So I think we make a dynamite team.
Great team.
Thank you.
I wish you success.
Thank
and
you.
And we'll well hopefully after the election when the results are in, both of you will be sitting in strong positions.
Thank you.
To make a difference because gosh, we need it.
Yes.
And thank we will
David.
Be watchdogs.
Yes, you're welcome.
Making sure that you keep the promises that
thank you.
You have, you know, delivered.
Absolutely.
We don't make promises that we can't keep.
Yeah. Well,
that I can assure you. David, thank you very much, and to all your listeners, obviously, and to Penny.
Yes.
It's been great to be here this afternoon.
And we'll see you on Monday at the station.
Just a last little tidbit from my poll research that I did. 8 million people last elections voted before 11 a.m. So it was a lot of voted to now. So if you want to hit the polls early, there are going to be queues. Penny, we will be on the ground.
I think those statistics you gave us earlier are not that accurate. You know, the amount of people that have been moving to Belita.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of migrants who've come to the area. Plenty.
Well, it will be what it will be. Listen, okay. I qualify for one of those special votes. I'm over that
age.
So I'll give you a shot to get a lift. Good luck, guys.
Thank you very much.
We'll chat after the election.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Here's Katy Perry, Never Worn White. It's 18 minutes to 4 o'clock.